You're listening to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast from VivaLearning.com. A large majority of dentists who are listening to this podcast are doing cosmetic dentistry in their practice. And for the most part, everything's going pretty smoothly. But how do we manage the 12-year-old that is suffering from what we call Snapchat dysmorphia? It's a mindset that makes people feel inadequate because they're constantly comparing themselves to social media influencers. We're seeing this phenomenon in some of our younger patients starting at even 12 years old, where they're requesting aggressive treatment like veneers to turn their teeth into celebrity smiles. So what's the best way to approach this, especially if the parents are waiving their credit cards? What are some cosmetic treatments that we can do that follow conservative dentistry principles while upholding our professional responsibility? To tell us more about it is our guest, Dr. Susan McMahon. Dr. McMahon has devoted her professional career to the pursuit of advanced technologies in cosmetic and minimally invasive dentistry. She frequently lectures across the United States and abroad on minimally invasive dentistry, technology, and conservative, undetectable cosmetic dentistry. We'll be introducing Dr. McMahon in a moment, but first, thanks to GC America, we're now able to incorporate all the advantages of glass ionomer into a beautifully aesthetic, strong, long-lasting restoration. That's a great reason to try GC Fuji AutoMix LC. You'll love the convenient AutoMix delivery system and ergonomic dispenser, which allows precise placement into the preparation. And GC Fuji AutoMix LC is bioactive, allowing for a high rechargeable fluoride release, which is ideal for high caries risk patients. And because it forms a chemical bond to tooth structure, even in the presence of saliva, there's no need for etchant and adhesive bonding. This saves steps and is ideal for challenging patients where access and isolation are difficult. And the small filler particles in the material allow for superb polishability and excellent aesthetics. So when you're thinking glass ionomer for your clinical cases, think GC America, a world leader in dental materials. To learn more, visit gc.dental. Dr. McMahon, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Well, hello, Phil. Thanks for having me back. I always enjoy talking with you.
We're delighted to have you on the show, Dr. McMahon, and this topic is very important because cosmetic dentistry, of course, is one of the most widely performed procedures in dental offices across the board, but the issue with treating patients that are very young, that are requesting cosmetic procedures, is something worth talking about, and that's what we're going to be doing today. So to begin, tell us your thoughts on this, and what age group are we talking about specifically?
Yeah, I've been doing cosmetics for a long time here in Pittsburgh, and I started noticing the trends probably somewhere around 10 years ago that younger and younger patients were asking for cosmetic procedures. And I think, and by younger and younger patients, I mean kids as young as 12 years old, and the and I'm talking maybe like up to like the end of college, 2022, 23. That changed for me about 10 years ago, and I started seeing getting more and more requests for cosmetics from these people, from these patients and their parents. And I think social media had a lot to do with that. You know how we all are comparing and despairing when we look at social media. It's a human nature. You see what's going on with other people and you compare yourself and you think, oh, I'm not quite up to par, right? And I think younger people are particularly vulnerable to that. They are comparing themselves now, not just to like the people they know or their siblings or the people they go to school with. They compare themselves to celebrities and influencers and people they would never have contact with, except now it's all over social media. There's an actual thing called Snapchat dysmorphia. It's a phenomenon, like a diagnosable phenomenon that people are altering pictures of themselves through filters and putting them out there on social media and then seeking care from plastic surgeons and cosmetic dentists to look like the filtered images of themselves. Mm. And that's what we're sort of seeing with these younger people.
That certainly sounds like it can go in a very dangerous direction. So what do you do with a 12-year-old individual who comes into your practice who tells you they're very self-conscious about their smile? They tell you what they don't like. They want celebrity-looking teeth. They tell you about their friends in their class that have these beautiful smiles that light up a room, and they are just very depressed about the way their teeth look, and they want some aggressive work done. How do you manage that with a 12-year-old child who has otherwise very healthy teeth, but not as aesthetic as they would like?
It's a great question, and it's something that I'm seeing all the time in my practice. So you know, when we get these younger people in 12, 13, 14 years old, and some of them are coming in and saying things like, I want veneers on my teeth. Along with a lot of 17, 18, 20 year olds are coming in and saying that too. They know what veneers are. Their parents are coming in waving a credit card. I want veneers on my teeth. I think it's really important that we address their concern. So I hear stories like this. I say, who's your regular dentist? And it's always somebody who, not always, but it's likely somebody that I know that's a great dentist that they've had years of care with. And I'll say, like, what are you doing here in my office? And they'll say things like, well, First of all, I didn't want to talk to my dentist about it. I didn't really think they did this kind of work. So they say that. Or they'll say, well, I asked my dentist about it and they said, oh, your teeth are beautiful. You don't need any work. You look great. If all my patients looked like you, I wouldn't have any work to do. And, you know, as dentists, we're thinking because we said it, those patients, those kids are going to say, oh, okay, my teeth look nice now. But instead, you know what they're thinking. They're like, well, that dentist doesn't know anything. I'm going to keep looking for other treatment. And they end up, you know, looking for treatment elsewhere. And that's how they turn up in my office and in lots of other offices, right? People, especially people that are doing, you know, a lot of social media marketing are marketing toward people that are searching out cosmetic dentistry. So I think it's important that we listen to them. So I never want to put an idea in their head. Like, I don't want to say, hey, you know, we could close that space for you. Or, you know, if you're interested in whitening your teeth, because that puts the idea in their head that something's wrong. So we try to be very gentle about it. And we try to ask them sort of more open-ended questions like, hey, is there anything going on with your teeth that you'd like me to look at? Or how are you happy with your smile? Something as simple as that. Or, and then, you know, kind of elicit whatever it is that they want. But I think it's really important that we listen to them and address their concerns, because if we don't, they continue to go out and seek treatment from, till they find someone that's willing to do what they want to do, basically, are willing to address their concerns. And I think there's a lot of very conservative things we can do to address their concerns and at the same time give them the confidence that they need or that they're seeking, because you know, confidence affects them in so many ways when they're younger.
Yeah, it's kind of a frightening situation to think that a young patient like that will hop from one dentist to another hoping for a dentist to do some aggressive work on them just because they've seen this stuff on social media and they're suffering from what you referred to as Snapchat dysmorphia. Very frightening. And it seems to me it would be irresponsible of any dentist to do aggressive dentistry like veneers on a 12-year-old just based on a phase that they're going through.
And even slightly older patients, you know, if we're looking like when the kids are coming out of ortho, I see a lot of these kids at 15, 16 years old that are coming and asking for veneers. And I also think, and that's because they're exposed to social media and they know that the veneers are out there. They know that that's what all the celebrities have. And oftentimes they come out of their ortho and they're expecting their teeth to look like, you know, Kylie Jenner's teeth. And instead they look like their own teeth and they're just not, they just don't feel confident or happy about it. But there's a lot of things that we can do that are alternative treatments to really address their concerns, to give them great looking smiles, but to be mindful of their long-term dental health. And oftentimes, and even as they get a little bit older into college, I do a lot of veneers on, 20 to 25 year olds, 23 to 25 year olds, but they're minimal prep or no prep veneers. You know, if you can't do it without saving all that enamel, even if we have to do pre-restorative orthodontics to line things up again, I don't want to do that. And I always find it interesting because I always talk to them about it. You know, if we put veneers on your teeth, this is a permanent situation that you're going to have these replaced several times during your life. You're 25 years old. That means, and we always say every 10 to 15 years, you're going to need these replaced. That means four or five times through your life, you're going to need them again. And they're always listening. They're looking at me. They're saying, yes, doctor, but you know what they're thinking.
It's a permanent procedure in the fact that you're removing enamel, you're reducing the tooth. But as far as the restoration itself, it's not permanent, right? I mean, it's something right. That you have to keep doing. And that when you tell them that, that's not enough to frighten them a little bit, thinking, I should probably think this over? They're still like gung-ho, let's do it?
They're still gung-ho, I want something changed. I want to make my smile look better, for sure. And I try to offer them the most conservative thing we can do. Sometimes that is just enamelplasty and whitening. Sometimes it's microabrasion or resin infiltration and whitening. Sometimes it's gingival sculpting with a combination of those other things. Sometimes it's direct composite veneering, which can be done really easily now with some of those template kits. Like, we use the Uveneer system in our office, which really, regardless of your skill set, you can make beautiful direct composite veneers with that system. Or sometimes it is minimal prep or almost no prep veneering on that age range.
We're going to get back to Dr. McMahon in a second, but first, as an endodontist, I can tell you root canal preparation can be stressful, tedious, and exhausting. And part of the problem is that dentists typically use too many endodontic files, and they use them in somewhat of a haphazard sequence. This makes the procedure more complex, longer, and less predictable. That's exactly why Colteen developed the HyFlex EDM file system. With only 4 endodontic files used in sequence, you can effortlessly clean and prepare the root canal system to working length case after case. Using a simple pecking motion with the opener, glider, shaper, and finisher, you'll quickly see how much faster your endo procedures will go and how efficient you'll become in achieving exceptional canal preparation. So if you're looking to speed up and simplify your root canal procedures consistently without compromise, check out the HyFlex EDM file system from Colteen. To learn more, visit colteen.dental. So what do you hear most commonly from these patients that are unhappy with their smile? Is it the white spot lesions post-orthodontic treatment? Is that the primary complaint?
Oftentimes they say, my teeth aren't showy enough. My smile isn't big enough. I hear that a lot. Sometimes it's the white spotting, like you're talking about, the visible white lesions that come from orthodontic decalcification or sometimes trauma. Sometimes they can get brown lesions around those too. Often we're talking about whitening with almost every single patient, which is really conservative, and I'm happy to do that on just about everybody. Gingival sculpting, you know, with the diode laser, just making the tissue more symmetric, removing a small amount of free gingiva without violating the biologic width with a diode laser. We do that pretty frequently, which is different than like crown elongation, where we're actually doing bony reconstruction and moving the gingival level higher. Gingival sculpting is more like for symmetry and for minor changes to the gingiva, but sometimes that is all they need.
So it must be difficult to manage those cases where the patient who's 12 years old and the mother are both insisting on doing something more aggressive than you're comfortable with, and you have to abide by your principles as a dentist, and you're very much into conservative dentistry. That's what defines you, Dr. McMahon. So what is your approach with that patient and her mother in those situations?
Right. I think it's really, really important that we are the stewards of their long-term dental health, in spite of what they may or may not want at that particular time in their life, right? We are the experts. That's why they're asking for our opinion. So I have a lot of photographs before and afters of younger patients that we've done procedures on. So I've got a big library of kind of procedures we've done. So first of all, I want to acknowledge that whatever that patient, that child, that 12, 13, 14-year-old is feeling is valid. Not like, oh, you're fine. You know, I wouldn't do a thing to those teeth. That sort of minimizes their experience and certainly doesn't make them feel good, right? And doesn't change any of the way they feel about their teeth. So I want to acknowledge that I see what you're talking about. And here's some options that I think are appropriate for you. And here's some things I want that we can do that are going to give you the big, beautiful teeth you want without physically altering them permanently. So there are, well, I shouldn't say without altering them permanently, without causing long-term damage to your health or making it necessary for you to have extended treatment in the future. So we want to have this kind of like tool belt full of things that we can offer that can get us the look we want without, you know, deep cutting their teeth to put, veneers on. I'm even seeing a ton of zirconia veneers on younger people because I'm in cosmetics and because I have been working in Pittsburgh for such a long time on this, I see a lot of replacement work. And I've been seeing recently lots of patients who are not pleased with their veneers that they've gotten. So they might even be just a couple weeks old or a couple months old. And I'm seeing a ton of zirconia done on young people. And by then the teeth are already really cut. And
so you're seeing zirconia on anterior teeth. Why not use something like Emax on the anteriors? I mean, not that, of course, you still have to prepare the teeth, but why put zirconia on the front teeth?
Well, I think why are other dentists putting zirconia on the front teeth? Because a lot of labs are now suggesting it. And I think that they're seeing it out in advertisements. And I think it's becoming kind of a thing right now. They're slightly less expensive. They're all milled. There's no layering going on with them. And I think it's sort of more of a, if you will, sort of an entry level into the veneer world for some dentists. Hmm. And that's why I think we're seeing more of them.
And I think, Dr. McMahon, we should reiterate how important it is to really listen to the patient, because you, in no way do you want to belittle their concerns with their smile, because it is affecting them. It could be affecting them in many ways we don't quite understand emotionally. So we certainly want to support them in that way. But having that tool belt available, as you mentioned, with the options of more conservative treatment modalities that could achieve cosmetic results is great. Can you give us some more examples of conservative treatment options that you present to the patient? You've already suggested a few.
I think composite is probably our best friend in this circumstance. There are so many beautiful, easy to use composites now that can hold a sheen for a really long time. Shade matching is easier than it's ever been because of the, you know, the fewer choices and shades. And I think that for a while in cosmetics, certainly in cosmetic dentistry, we were all looking for indirects. And now I'm doing far more composite than I used to do in the past. So that's my number one, either direct composite veneers or finessing the smile out with composites. That's what I'm always going to try to do first. And then there's the other things like, of course, whitening. We're whitening just about everybody. We're looking at the gingiva on everybody and doing a lot of sculpting on them. And then there are the things to get rid of the staining on teeth. There's microabrasion, where you can get rid of brown stains and some deeper white stains. There's the resin infiltration, where you can get rid of the visible white lesions pretty easily. And if none of those are appropriate, then you can do no prep or absolutely minimal prep veneering. And it can be done with Emax, like you said, or even if you can find someone, Feldspathic is still, you know, my first choice. It's beautiful veneers, but, you know, there's not too many people out there doing that anymore. There's just a lot of very conservative options that we can give to these kids to, like, not only, you know, like we say, boost our bottom line, we're boosting their confidence. And we're giving them the smile that they feel good about and that lets them, you know, develop socially the way that we all want to.
And no doubt, sticking to your values as a dentist and a human being allows you to practice the way you feel comfortable practicing and giving you the satisfaction in your career. There's no question about it. That's very important to the clinician as well as the patient. So you did talk about photography a little bit. Tell us how you use photography in more detail with your case presentations or how you present options to these patients.
Right. I think photography is really important. First, we're photographing the patient themselves. So we can look at them on a computer screen in 2D. And sometimes we're shooting video too. But I'll sit, you know, we take the photographs. We'll do an intraoral scan on every patient, and then I come in and sit knee to knee with the mom or the dad and the patient, and we kind of look at their photos first, and then I say, you know, I'm trying to understand what they don't like, and sometimes they can't articulate what they don't like. They just say, I don't like my smile. It doesn't look like my friends. It isn't like, it just isn't big as I want it to be. They don't know exactly what's wrong, and I try to help them figure that out. And at the same time, being mindful of the conservative procedures we can do. So sometimes it's as simple as they hate the mamelons on their teeth because they think it makes them look really young, or they think their canines are too pointy. So then we start talking about additive dentistry, putting some composite along the incisal edges or on the canine points, whitening all the teeth, maybe a little bit of gum sculpting. And we try to help them to understand what they don't like about it. And then I flip to my little PowerPoint on my laptop and I'll flip to that. And it's has before and after photos of lots and lots of people in their age range that have similar cases or things that they weren't happy with either. And you can sort of see the light go on when you show them another case. And I'll say, this is what they looked like. And here's what we did. And you can see that they feel hopeful about that. And I think it's really important that it's, you know, because it's non-invasive, it also is really an easy procedure for them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. No, I love the way you approach this. And I just respect so much of how you practice dentistry and keep the whole culture in your practice, everybody on board with this in your practice. And that's just part of who you are. And it imparts itself on all your patients and the care that they get with you, which is what it's all about. Thank you so much, Dr. McMahon. We really appreciate your input. Very important topic. And it's very important that dentists know that they'll be facing this more and more with social media, with the tailwind of social media driving it. Have a very good evening and thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. I always appreciate talking with you.
If you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a review or follow us on your favorite podcast platform. It's a great way to support our program and spread the word to others. Thanks so much for listening. See you in the next episode.